Hello and welcome to Trailer House's extra special podcast. This is not something that we would do normally. Obviously, when something big comes along in the world of TV and gaming or with films, we're going to quickly jump on it and sort of give a view. This week, the big news is obviously the new Xbox One. So this is what this podcast is just going to be about. Even though no one at Microsoft has obviously said why it's called the Xbox One, even though it's the third one, the general consensus online seems to be is because once you've had the 360, you end up back at one, which is a bit clever, I guess. Personally, I think Microsoft is saying that they're taking us back to step one of the systems. It's a new beginning of a revolutionary system that blends not only the world of gaming, but the way you consume the film and TV. Again, this is what makes it interesting, the Trailer House, because we here consume a lot of gaming, a lot of TV, and a lot of movies. What they seem to be going with here is something that's going to revolutionise all of this, which again is why we've done this podcast. Okay, now with me as normal is obviously Chris.
Hello.
And Adam.
Guten Tag.
Now, first thing we're going to talk about here is we're going to
beautiful language
with the obviously if you watched it live on pretty much all of the major gaming networks there. How did you guys feel this went compared to see the PlayStation 4 reveal a few months ago?
To be honest with you, I was incredibly underwhelmed. It feels as if you don't watch TV a great deal and you love playing games, but those games aren't sport or COD, you're pretty much hooked. It seems to be all about let's just fucking big up EA and all the other major sort of titles and IPs that are knocking around at the minute, and everybody else be damned. Which is a bit sad, but I mean, you know. I'm going to hold my breath until we get a bit further down the line, because anything can change still at the minute.
Yeah, I've got to agree with what Adam said there. Now, I've got to admit to not watching the whole thing. I've just sort of picked up sort of the videos, obviously, you know, about controllers, you know, the specs, the TV stuff like that. But the whole performance, if you want to call it that, the whole show was just so bland. There was absolutely nothing. It was basically Xbox, here it is, and that was it. They had like maybe three or four games there. They had Forza, Call of Duty, and then they just announced television things. You know, it's a games console. Yeah, it's meant to have all this multimedia stuff, which is cool, and it's great that it connects into your TV and stuff like that. But personally, I don't care. You know, why do I need that? I've got Netflix. I hardly watch TV. It just seems like they've completely took away the whole gaming side of things, at least at the minute, and just went totally, basically, here's a set-top box that does everything except games, so you might as well buy a PlayStation.
Now, you see, myself personally, I disagree with both your comments there. I thought it was incredibly exciting. I thought they'd blown it out the water compared to PlayStation. I think the problem with... I know what you're saying, Chris, where you go, look, I need a gaming machine. I don't need a... everything game. There was a time, if you think about it like this, where we went, I just want a phone, and now our phones do everything, and you couldn't have it the other way. In fact, we complain when you can't get internet on your phone. I think gaming's going to go the same way, where this machine now, you don't have your, and you know, in your living room or in your bedroom, you don't have your telly, your set-top box, your gaming machine, and then a hi-fi, or an iPod docket, or anything. You have one bit of kit now. I think that's probably the way to go forward. The one thing I'm worried about is, will one thing suffer over the other? That's the problem. Can they find a nice balance where the gaming's still a mint gaming, and the other media is still good media?
I mean, ultimately, it is still a gaming machine. I think it would have benefited them a lot better if they'd hung on in terms of like actually releasing the information, but that. It was all multimedia, you know. At its core, it is a gaming machine, and it would have been loads nicer for them to actually present, you know, a good selection of games rather than a couple that we know isn't going to be exclusive. So it was a bit of a letdown there.
The problem with the gaming is the same way it's every single new gen comes. If you cast your minds back 10 years when the Xbox 360 came out, it wasn't exactly an amazing sort of lineup. It's the same here. The problem I've got with it is that they're Microsoft reporting going, within the first 12 months, you've got 15 games.
Yeah.
15 games for the first 12 months, are you kidding?
Not 15 games, 15 new 15 IPs.
that's not what that is it?
Yeah.
15, well, eight brand spanking new IP, so eight unknown sort of game franchises out of the blue from big developers, and the other half is
that we spoke about last week.
Yeah, and the other half is going to be sort of sequels to what we already have, such as your Cards, your Forza, things like that.
Yeah, see, this is my other problem as well with the Xbox. Now, some of those are going to be Xbox exclusives, like solely Xbox, but they didn't say how many. Call of Duty, that's going to be on both consoles and PC. Forza, I believe, is a full exclusive, for Microsoft. But I reckon 90% of those are going to be shared, so they're not true exclusives. You know, like your Metal Gear 4 on the PlayStation.
I think the days of exclusives, I don't think there is as they were back in the day.
Oh, I don't know.
The themselves, the stats are pretty much identical. So there's going to be a lot more where a publisher or a house can go, right, I can do it easy on the PlayStation, do it easy on the Xbox. There we go.
Yeah.
I've never been that fussed about exclusive anything. I've always been frustrated. I want to play Metal Gear
7,
and I can't because I've got an Xbox, that kind of thing. That's annoying.
Yeah. But, I think it would have benefited them a lot more if they'd hung on till E3 and then just blew your minds, had all this multimedia stuff, which it is cool, don't get us wrong, but back that up with the true purpose, you know, all the games. This is all the shit we've got to give you guys. You know, everybody knows COD, you know, was going to come out. It's inevitable. There's one every year. It's not a big surprise when there's a Call of Duty trailer comes out, even though, for some reason, everyone is still losing their shit over it.
It's because there is a lot of 15-year-old virgins desperate to pull a fag online. This is the only way that I can do this.
They're not wrong.
Tell you what, my dad is angry because a lot of people have fucked my mum.
In the world of online COD, a lot of mums are getting a lot of fucking action, by all accounts. A lot of mums are getting nailed. Adam, just to go back to the specs there, they've come out there, and obviously with the machine, you're going to get a 500 gigabyte hard drive.
Cool.
Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't seem like an awful lot.
Nope.
Think about it. Depending on what you put on it, the average game at the minute is about 6 gig on a disc.
No. Not at all, Adam. Majority of, you know, decent games now, your likes of Armor and stuff like that, easily around 30 gig. The Sims 2, which came out years ago, was at least 20 gig.
But at the minute, right now, console games, if you install it onto your hard drive as you can with the current 360, it's about 6 to 7 gig on a disc. That's how much you're getting. I'm assuming with Blu-ray, which is going to be sitting in this as well, touching on the hard drive.
Yeah, there's going to be a new Blu-ray player in this, so obviously the HD DVD, which was a waste of the time, is gone now.
I'm assuming with Blu-ray, you're going to get exponentially more.
Yep.
But I'm not expecting the 500 gigabyte hard drive Xbox to be the only model Xbox. I give it a year, 2 years, and a terabyte version will come out.
I don't think they'll do that. I think, personally, the way I feel they do it, look, well, there's your hard drive, that's you, that's safe. Well, you know, we'll count that out, there's your bus fare home. What they're going to do is, if you want more, you go cloud.
Yeah, rent.
Yeah, there is,
Now, what will happen now is, like, for 500 gigabyte now, is fine, because the games, like you say, are around the 10 sort of, the 10 megabyte sort of sizing. The trouble is that in a year, in 2 years, in 3 years, where the games are going to get bigger, because right now, the games look nice, but you know it's not what the machine's capable of. Years down the line, they're going to get bigger, the games, because you're going to be able to do more stuff in them. Now, on a 10-year hard drive with an Xbox, all of the games I've played, all the save games, all the downloads that I've got, I've had to wipe my hard drive at least once. This 500 gigabyte might be, you know, okay now, but in 10 years...
That's exactly my point. I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to actively encourage people to actually put the games on the hard drive, which is fine. It's a good idea. It lets the games run smoother. But, you know, it doesn't take long. You know, if you are full gamer and all your money's devoted to, you know, like the next big game and stuff like that, before that fills up, especially with your add-ons, your demos, your music, all this TV multimedia stuff's going to take up space. It's not going to be a 500 gigabyte out the sort of hard drive out the box. It's probably only going to be about sort of like maybe sort of 450 or something like that because of all the system stuff that's going to be on there. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I mean, the thing is, as well, just, I mean, touching on it, especially with the games, it's, I mean, I made this point yesterday at work, with the PS4 and the PCs at the minute, we've always had to install games. The Xbox is the only one that hasn't forced it on any game. It's been a totally optional thing up until now.
True. So
people are nerd-raging about it, and like, rah, you've got to install it on the hard drive, rah, rah. Like, why would everything else, why would they sort of deliberately stay behind the times, if that makes any sense? Why would they just go, well, this is the industry standard, we're just going to step up and bring it in line with everybody else?
Is the thing, well, at least they're going to make the machines quieter, because my Xbox, one of the first generation Xboxes, Christ, does it make a noise once making.
Mine's like an asthmatic breathing through a sieve, it's ridiculous. But, sorry, just to quickly touch on this, Chris, before we move on, mate, sorry, your PlayStation 3, you had one, didn't you? Or have you still got one? Can't remember.
I've got one, but it's dead.
So what size was that hard drive on it?
On the PlayStation, I believe it was about 300 gig. It was one of the sort of pretty high ones, but it was never, ever anywhere near filled.
Exactly.
I only ever had about 5 games for it, so...
But still, even with 5 games, I mean, did you scratch the surface of how much you could potentially put on that bad boy?
Good Lord, no. But like I say, I mean, it was a much a secondary console for that. Like I say, it was purely single player, and the fact that it was a Blu-ray drive, so I could watch my Blu-rays on something. I didn't really use it as a gaming console compared to the 360, which just gets the full abuse basically. But this is the thing with the hard drive is, you know, if you're going to focus on your cloud sort of stuff, there was obviously talk of them potentially not using discs. Why bother in the first place? You know, if you're going to cloud it and, you know, it's all going to be downloaded.
A lot of countries aren't ready for full
cloud. That is true.
Strangely, one of the worst countries for it in the Western world is America. You would think America would have amazing broadband. It doesn't. A lot of this country doesn't have amazing broadband. Granted, if you're in South Korea, if you're in Japan, where their government has went, right, we need this infrastructure, they can just download stuff at ridiculous speeds. If they do that, especially in the American market, they're going to end up pushing a lot of people to PlayStation.
Like I say, with the whole sort of production there, I think they already have. I'm certainly completely turned off from the Xbox.
Opposite. If I was going to go one or the other, I'd go Xbox from what I've seen. Now, obviously, PlayStation 4, they've got E3 to sort of, you know, spunk their load.
So
it depends on what they come back with.
Mm-hmm.
As far as we're concerned with the current gen, 360's kicked PlayStation 3's arse. Just
completely. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Beyond anything, where online, on everything. To go back to what Adam mentioned there before, obviously, you mentioned the Blu-ray, which is good to say that the Xbox is getting that. Makes a little difference now, because you can start to pick up Blu-rays for a reasonable price these days. Back in the day, when Blu-rays first came out, it was actually cheaper to buy a PlayStation 3. They lost on every single PlayStation 3 because they were pushing the Blu-ray media. You know, and to this day, I don't know even if they've made money on the PlayStation 3.
They did, yeah. It was about a year ago they turned a profit on it.
And that's, what's that, 10 years down the line? 9 years down the line?
Oh, hell no, nah. But probably about, I think, if the PlayStation 3's been out for 7 years now. Don't quote me on that. About 7 years, yeah.
The thing what I enjoy about this Xbox as well is that they seem to be going towards a better gaming platform. And by that, they're making it a PC. You know, we're all, the three of us here, for years and years and years, have all been console players. But even we can admit, if you want some decent playing, where it's good graphics, it's, you know, it's got a better infrastructure online, it gets better support, PC gaming's the way. What this Xbox One is doing, it's obviously got three in it. They've got, obviously, the system to set up that plays the games, you've got the system that set up through the telly, through the films, and then you've got a third system in there that makes the two talk to each other, makes them run.
So you're
actually getting a really high-powered sort of gaming PC in this, and regardless of what money they come out with to sell this at, personally, probably about £300, I would imagine, £350.
I was going to say, I reckon.
There's been a leak. Sorry, on regarding prices, there's been a leak. Apparently, it's going to be retailing for $500, I believe. So we'll be expecting, once they import it and they add their tax on over here, I'm expecting about 450 to 500 quid.
That's a little bit expensive for...
The PlayStation was PlayStation 3 was the same when it first came out, though. That was going for $499, so...
Yeah. I mean, plus as well...
Because they couldn't sell them for that
price.
Yeah, I mean,
PlayStation only saw big numbers in the States when they got to around the $350 mark. Mm-hmm. And even then there was bundle packs. So, I mean, with you guys, if you've got the money, see you've got the $450, it's there. You've got other things you could buy, but it's there.
Mm.
Would you spunk it on one of these new machines straight away, or would you leave it a while before you went for one?
I'd get one day one, definitely. I am definitely getting one day one. It's, at this minute in time, who am I going to buy first? Potentially, probably end up buying both, like I did with the last generation, yeah. And then eventually get rid of the one that I favoured the least, which was unfortunately PlayStation. Because as Chris said, after a while, I became a glorified Blu-ray player that could play Metal Gear Solid. And mm-hmm. I mean, I like the game, but it's not worth keeping a 500 quid piece of kit.
Yeah.
Like it does.
For me, the big pull, because I was always this PlayStation boy, the big pull on the 360 as opposed to the PlayStation 3 was that if I wanted to go online with my buds. Have a few games. It was two button press. It was go online. There's my mate. Party chat.
This
game, away we go.
Yeah, this is one thing that Microsoft did right with the 360 versus the PS3. The online service, albeit free on the Sony system, was terrible. It was so bad. I don't know whether it was just the hardware, like the Bluetooth headsets, but it was just atrociously bad online. And you could only ever chat to one like friend. I don't think they had. I still don't think they've got party chat on it. I may be wrong. Yeah.
What was atrocious about it as well was that where Xbox, because obviously Microsoft, they know the gaming market for the PC, and they know what PC guys want. They went, well, let's make the console the same. They just want to get online. They just want to play the games. If I remember correctly, PlayStation, and I don't know if they ever released this, had PlayStation Home, which was...
Oh, yes.
Did you ever release that? Did you guys have?
Oh yeah, I released it. I released it and I played it some of twice. The first time was to test it, and then again it was just filled with people saying that fuck my mom. And the second time is when I accidentally bought the PlayStation 3 version of Arkham Asylum, which I'm quite happy I did, because the home, your home in Home, became the Batcave, which is fucking everybody awesome. But yeah, apart from that, pointless.
I want that. Why is my house not the back here? That's what annoys me. Yeah, well, a few bits and pieces of data there. Obviously, they've come out with the Xbox One. There's lots of stats and stuff like that. I'll be honest with you, I don't understand it. So if you're that way inclined, you can go and have a look to see what terabytes flux capacitor throws out. machines obviously coming in with built-in Wi-Fi as well, which is excellent. Obviously, for exchanging data between the devices, your hub, and also the controller. You know, it's obviously going to be closer to the sort of the PC sort of kind of feel to the innards of it. So hopefully that'll work well. Now, this is also a very interesting bit. I don't know if I'm interested in it, but I think it's good in a certain way, is that it's also got the HDMI out port, which
everything
nowadays, but it's also got the HDMI in port. Now, this is for interfacing with set-top boxes, so your Sky box and your Virgin box and your FreeSat, I would imagine. So you can have it all through your Xbox One. Now, what do you guys feel about that? Do you, you know, would you rather just have that there, like, game in there, or?
Like I said, I mean, it's just part of the functionality with getting your, like, your cable or your satellite into the Xbox, so you can all do it into one. I mean, one of the, like I said, the nice things about it is the fact that you can now watch the telly, but be on the internet on your TV at the same time. But you know, do you really need that when you've got a smart TV anyway? If you know what I mean, you're not going to be playing a game and watching the telly at the same time. I mean, how?
What this does is...
Sorry to interrupt, guys. Sorry. Just saying, like, we would. I mean, I would quite easily play a game with my headphones on whilst Alice watches the TV.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, like, it's going to work quite well for us. Plus, as well, one of my personal bugbears, which isn't a great problem in the grand scheme of stuff, is when I turn on TV and I go, oh, shit, it's on game. I need to put it on TV. And I'm going to find the remote. Change the source, because my TV, smart TV, doesn't automatically change them.
Yeah, so, I'll definitely give you that. That in that respect, it's very good how it's instantly clear. I mean, one of the big things with the whole demonstration that really bothered us is the Kinect system. I like the idea of the Kinect system, but it always, the whole thing just seems so fake.
Before we head on to the Kinect system, let's just finish up on this section here by saying that you made an excellent point about why would I want to do that when I've got a smart telly. I can't afford a smart telly. I wish I could drop a grand on a smart telly.
What I do with this is
I pay £450 for argument's sake, and I get a smart telly. Because that smart telly, my normal telly, is turned into a smart telly because of the Xbox.
Obviously,
a lot of the features are in the Kinect, which we'll go into in just a second. But, you know, it, like Adam says there as well, it's nice to sort of go, I'm playing a game, I'm a bit sick of this, I'm just going to pause it. You do what you do, and then, boosh, you're straight onto your, you know, your Discovery Channel or whatever you want to do. It's a really sort of, you know, ridiculous way of making a smart telly by just having a smart box. It's saving you money right there. The same as sell with the Xbox Live. When you get the Gold account, and we'll assume for argument's sake the cost's going to stay the same, you're getting a subscription to, you know, a Sky, a Virgin, whatever it's going to be down the lines, without paying, you know, £60-70 a month for that cable.
See, I don't know about that. I don't know. Has that actually been confirmed? Because at the end of the day,
they haven't. To be honest with you, I'd be very, very surprised if, say, for argument's sake, Sky agreed to that, because they're going to cheat themselves out of.
That's my point. Is I still think you're going to be paying for your Sky even if you have the Xbox or you don't. But then you're going to be paying the Xbox Live subscription on the top, and all the Xbox is going to do is just sort of marry those two together into one thing.
Plus, I don't know if you guys have read it or not, but I don't know if it's like called your TV program, if that goes onto your Xbox or if it goes onto your SAT. I can't imagine that the set-top boxes are going to be sort of just filtering, you know, data through. Or if the fact that you don't even have a set-top box, is it just going to be the fact that there's a little SCART lead in the back that goes into HDMI and you've just got one box sat there? I don't know, again, what the cable companies or the satellite companies are agreeing. And I don't see why they would agree to it, because they're again going to lose out money by, you know, Joe Public goes and buys a new Xbox and then doesn't bother getting these Sky Plus. Well, how is Sky going to benefit for that?
Yeah, but that's my point, is it's not going to come, the Xbox isn't going to come with Sky or anything like that. You're still going to have to buy that separate and then marry them together. And I think they'll make a lot of sales on the Xbox with people thinking that it'll just be able to get satellite television, which obviously won't be the case at all.
I think you'll probably get some satellite. I think it'll be something on there, but it'll be...
Oh, it'll be your Freeview stuff, I imagine.
Like BBC Threes and, you know, that kind of thing. But I mean, obviously in the big reveal, they used HBO as an example. You know, in America, HBO you have to pay for.
But that's
Sky Atlantic. But again, why would HBO give that to Microsoft?
That's exactly my point. You'll get, I mean, the people are big idiots, you know, for a fact, but you'll get Joe Mong, he'll go out, he'll be like, oh yeah, Xbox One, this is going to be mint. He's going to turn it on, he's going to try and watch Sky movies or something like that, and then it's obviously not going to give him any ability to watch Sky movies as he's expected to believe.
Yeah.
And they really need to clarify that just by having the Xbox, you're not suddenly going to get, you know, Virgin Cable, Sky Satellite, you know, you're just going to get, you know, basic Freeview channels sort of through there, maybe it's like your Netflix service and stuff like that, like you do at the moment.
What we'll do now is we'll move quickly on to the Kinect section. I'll give out some stats and some figures on Kinect, and we'll see, take that from there. Now, obviously, when you say Kinect, you initially think, oh, what a waste. Or you think of some very small Japanese guy in Tokyo who can't use it properly because his room is the size of a shoebox. The new Kinect 2, whatever you want to call it, sounds fantastic. It sounds like the Kinect we should have had the first time around. There's hand gestures, there's voice gestures. You can unlock your console by just looking at the Kinect, and it recognises your face. And not only does it bring up, you know, your Xbox, but it brings up your profile, your film, your video. Straight into it. I find it to be very, very sort of an exciting bit of tech.
Wait, I mean, I've got to admit to having bought the original Kinect. I wanted to dance and get over it, whatever. The original Kinect had all those functions inbuilt anyway. Obviously, there were the very early versions of it. And I've got to admit, for all I've sounded like I've been hating on the Xbox One, as in the console itself, so far at least, I've got to admit, I do agree that the Kinect does look very good. It is awesome to be able to be, you know, sat on your settee and just be able to wave your arm and flick it between TV or, you know, do your stuff like that. And that's going to be sort of really brilliant. It's a revolutionary idea in the same way touchscreen has been on phones. I think eventually, sort of over time, a lot more. I mean, that Kinect system may even become integrated into coming into your house and your house lights go on. You know what I mean? I think that's the very, very sort of beginning steps of, you know, your smart house in effect.
Adam, you mentioned before that obviously, you know, you're going to go first day buy. You don't know if you're going to go PlayStation, you don't know if you're going to go Xbox yet. Is the Kinect in any way swaying that for you?
I was going to touch on this before then, before we moved on here, actually. If it works like it's advertised, yes. Okay, if it works like it's advertised, I will be blown away and I will take back all the bad words I've said about the new Xbox. Based purely on the fact that it is amazing, if it works like the tech demo suggests. Yeah. I've got a horrible, horrible, horrible suspicion, though, that what this K2 is, it's going to be the Wii Motion Plus. You know, when you've got the Wiimote and people are like, oh my God, it's amazing. And then you got it home and realize it wasn't that great. You could play tennis lying down. So then they released a small box that attached to the bottom and went, it's now amazing. And then people bought the box and then went,
This is my issue with it, is having had the first one, as Mick mentioned about, you know, little Takamoto in his little tiny Japanese flat. I live in a small flat myself, and it is impossible to play the original Kinect in my flat without seriously rearranging the furniture. It just can't be done.
With this new Kinect, just to jump in there to give you a bit of extra few stats, the field of view on the Kinect is now 60% bigger. It uses infrared as well, so what that basically means is that you can be in pitch black, and it still sees you. It still sees your hand movements. Mm-hmm. It means that when you've got your friends around, you can, instead of all having to huddle together in a small spot, you can sort of space out a little bit more, and the machine still buys you on. Yeah, personally, I think this new Kinect is an excellent bit of tech and a real big step forward if it works.
Yeah, if it works. I mean, the only sort of, like I said, the gripe with the original Kinect was, I mean, its field of view was great, but it really, you know, sort of heavily relied on people having, you know, sort of more than, say, 10 foot of living room space.
Yeah.
Anything within that, and it just did not pick you up at all. It would basically obviously only see you from, say, your knees up. And obviously that's no good for games where it's trying to track your legs, like the football and stuff like that, where if this one, if that feel, as you mentioned, it's sort of 60% bigger, which is brilliant, but does that, you know, will that take into account being right up close to it as well? You know, can you alter it so it's like really shallow viewed, if that makes sense? If you can do that, and you can have people essentially playing with their Kinect in a cupboard, game on, that's a game changer in terms of the tech. But yeah, like I say, I mean, with the tech demo, it's the problem with the motion thing. It's, I mean, obviously the whole performance is scripted, but it was just, it's such a hard thing to take as fact, if you know what I mean, that when he's swiping, it's actually swiping. You know,
I
and
much
it actually
would have preferred
is.
If, for instance, there was genuine audience members there that shouted out, do this with it. So it's kind of unscripted, unprompted, and he has to do it on the fly. Because for all we know, that could have been, you know, not broken. It could have not worked. It could have been broken, for instance, and there could have been a guy behind the curtain with a controller going left, right, forwards, back.
Whatever. Exactly. That's exactly my point. I mean, obviously, at your E3 and stuff like that, people are going to get a hands-on with it, and that's when you'll get, like, your genuine examples. But when you've got your chief executive on stage, it's really hard to take it as
What we're going to do now is we're going to move on to the controller. Now, for me personally, I know you guys agree with us on this, that possibly the Xbox controller, the 360 controller, is for me, is the ultimate controller. It does everything you want. It feels like a disagreement there.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, I love the Xbox controller. I mean, the Xbox controller are one, right? Literally, we are legion. But have you ever tried to play a beat-em-up on the D-pad?
To be fair, that's true.
Well, apparently that's one of the big things they've changed, actually, is the D-pad. I mean, there is a new version of the 360 Xbox where you can actually twist the D-pad and it pops out and it's a lot, it's like massively better.
50 Sorry? Quid. 50
Well, that's the exact reason. I mean, I'm not a fan of fighting games anyway, so it's of no relevance to me personally.
I'm a fan, but I have to pay an extra 50 quid for it to be a decision.
But one of my gripes when the unveiled the controller, I mean, it's brilliant. You know, it's got vibrating the triggers and stuff like that.
No, I'll come back to this in a second, but crack on, remind me on.
Yeah, but the thing that really sort of annoyed me is no touchpad on the controller like the PlayStation 4.
Good.
Listen to me point. Consider playing, you know, the likes of Ruse and stuff like that. It's not the most awkward thing in the world with the controllers, but it would be a lot easier if you could drag and drop with your finger.
I'm a big strategy player. I play XCOM, I play Ruse, and I've never had a problem with using the directional pad.
I think that relies as well on a good interface from the actual game company.
Yeah.
Obviously, XCOM, obviously there was no touch. There was never ever going to be, you know, sort of a drag and drop system in that, and it's obviously been designed with the controller in mind. But I still think that the whole, you know, sort of PS4, even the Wii U sort of touchpad on the controller would be a really nice thing to do. I mean, what if you don't want to be waving your arms about when you're changing the channels? Wouldn't it be nice to just sit with the pad on your knee and just do the hand gesture on the pad?
Yeah,
well, I know.
You're not waving your arms with a new computer, you're speaking to it, you're going...
Well, I know, but that's what I'm saying. Sometimes you just don't want to. You know, that's a fact, and it would just be nice just to be able to just swipe, there you go, job done. But yeah, like I say, I mean, at the same time, you can knock your control stick left or right as well, so it's sort of a counterintuitive argument. But
It's
an interesting point because I didn't think about it, but the Wii U... you know, we're talking about that. That's even going to count. The Wii U, the PlayStation have gone touchpads.
Mm-hmm.
Xbox haven't. And to be honest with you, I think I've got more confidence in Microsoft with a controller than I have with Nintendo, and I do with Sony. But again, that's just a personal preference.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Adam?
Well, two things. One on this, and then one back to the triggers. They've not gone touch because they're blooming all their hopes in one basket with the Kinect.
Yeah.
So instead of moving your finger on a pad on your pad, you know, to build another building in Command & Conquer 9 or whatever it is, you'll be going hand or speaking to the Kinect, build command center or whatever, and it'll do it for you. You know what I mean? It'll do it that way, fulfill a need, and free up your hands completely, as opposed to, oh shit, I've got to go back to my base. Oh no, this really tiny touchpad. And you'll appreciate this, Chris and Mick, trying to do really intricate things on a small screen, on a small pad, phones. It's a pain in the ass.
I don't have that problem. I've got a Samsung Note. The thing's the size. I actually had a woman at work the day who I don't know. Never met her before in my life. And I was just on my phone at my desk. And she went, for God's sake, how big is that phone? I just looked her directly in the eye. And I went, it's because I've got a small cock. And just kept that gaze until she walked off.
It's a valid point.
I got a good laugh from the guys around us. She was not impressed, though, to be fair.
HR grievance tomorrow, Michael. HR grievance. Come back to the triggers. It hasn't got vibrating the triggers because that would essentially vibrate in the pads, if that makes any sense. What it has is forced feedback. So, for instance, on COD, the game producers can program the triggers to have a trigger pull. So when you pull a trigger, you have a click at a certain point.
Ah, right.
It'll have resistance until a point, then it'll be loose. Or if it's an accelerator on a car, you'll be holding the trigger at a certain point. If you change gear, there'll be a judder on the trigger to indicate you've changed gear, that kind of thing. And it's constant feedback, and it'll differ depending on what game it is and how it's played, which I'm incredibly, incredibly excited about.
Yeah, I've got to admit, I did not.
Impressed me compared to Vibrate, because Vibrate, after a while, and I think you'll all agree, you'll start playing the game, you'll be like, oh, vibrate, oh, that vibrates when it happens. And then about 20 minutes into the game, it's like 3D, you forget it.
You just go, hang on, this is just vibrate, I kind of tell. They have that forced feedback, I think, like you say, I agree with you completely, very exciting. Which takes us back to, I think, Microsoft knows controllers better than the others. We don't know, obviously, what Sony's PlayStation 4 controller is going to give in more detail. We know it's going to look. And we know that they've kind of borrowed the Xbox style of controller.
Yeah.
Obviously, their pissy, flimsy thing for the PlayStation 3 is no good. So that's on the way of the dinosaurs. To move on again, the big thing here, and I know Chris is going to start screaming at this, it's the backwards compatibility and the second-hand game market. Because Xbox One is using a completely different system, like, you know, for architecture of how it runs the games, how it does the games. the 360 games are going to be, the discs are going to be no good. It's just not going to recognise it. It's talking a completely different language.
I mean, it's the same as the PlayStation 3 to the PlayStation 2. It was just the design of the discs and presumably the programming language that went with it. And it was the biggest disaster for PlayStation 3. Was, you know, these people having massive PlayStation 2 back catalogues and not being able to enjoy the games that they paid for. I mean, the only thing that I can think would redeem it on Xbox One is if you own, say, Gears of War 3, and you put the disc in Xbox One, it lets you download it because you've got it on your gamer tag, and you can then play it, you know, via the digital download,
like without having cloud system.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough. Maybe chuck on a minimum fee, you know, like a fiver or something like that, you know, so at least, you know, the game developers are getting a sort of a nod for your, you know, sort of commitment to the game.
The trouble with that is, and it's a good point, and it's what a good guy company would do.
Yeah.
Your Xbox One's going to go, that's a second hand game, because it's the first time it's you know, it's registering it, and then it's going to kick in with. Because I don't know if it's been confirmed yet, but I know if you put the second-hand games in, it'll go, oh, you can play it. You know, if it's a Gen 1, should I say. You can play it, but you're going to have to pay for it.
Well, that's what I say. Yeah, it's an undisclosed fee. I mean, I can see what they're doing. Obviously, they're protecting it. It will push people to buy an original game rather than pre-owning it. But, you know, little Billy down the street can't afford a £50 game every time it comes out. And what he'll do is...
It's going to be £50. Adam made the point the other day of, if you look at the Xbox original 360 and Xbox One, you can see it jumping up in price every single gen. Yeah.
But that's my point is, I mean, like, I've got a draw there, you know, with maybe five or six games that I'll trade in for one brand new game.
Yeah.
And you're basically, like, say, a little Billy down the street, probably only gets maybe one game a year, maybe one for his birthday, maybe a couple at Christmas if he's lucky. And I think it's going to, you know, when you've got somebody like that who, it's not their fault. They're genuinely relying on being able to pick up a game cheaper just because of their, like, you know, income even. It's a massive, massive hindrance. You know, oh, yeah, you know, like walking to a shop, oh, mom, can I get the new Call of Duty? You know, and it's like 55 quid or whatever at release. You know, I've got to admit, if it were my parents, they'd tell me exactly where to go on that. You know, and if I can't trade my games in, well, I mean, you're still going to be able to trade your games in, but I'm certainly not going to be able to buy it at £55. But if I went, oh, yeah, mint, there it is, it's only £25, that's brilliant for somebody with, like, low income.
But it's not going to cost you that £25, because you're going to put that in, and it's going to go, if you want to play this...
That's exactly my point. So if I can't afford the full price brand new version, why would I buy a pre-owned one when I'm going to end up paying the full price for it anyway, and I can't afford it?
Which is what they're doing. Basically, EA and the such like are annoyed that they don't get a cut of the cash.
Yeah.
Once it leaves that shop for the first time, that's their money. After that, they're not in the second-hand market. Now, just to bring Adam into this, because I know he likes to wheel and deal in the second-hand market a lot. You know, you go to shops like CEX, you go to Game.
Yeah.
A lot of their business is because people are buying games that are a year old second-hand.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's just I mean, personally, of all the things that they've got coming out, I know for I'm pretty confident. I was going to say I know for a fact, which, you know, I don't. But I'm 90% certain that this isn't going to be the case with the PlayStation 4. So, you know, straight there, you've got pre-owned games exactly as you have now on PlayStation 4. But I genuinely think if anything's going to cause this console, the Xbox One, to crash and burn, it's going to be that. And I strongly think it's a massive, massive risk they're taking by doing it. But, yeah, that's my two cents, at least.
I'm going to sort of throw my hat in the ring here a little bit and probably not make any friends, but I don't think it will cause it to crash. I think there's going to be some butthurt, and people will take a lot of time to adjust to it. But I don't think, ultimately, it's going to collapse the market. The reason being go on.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be just like instant crash and burn, no sales of consoles anywhere. I think it's certainly over the time, say it runs for 10 years and then you get Xbox 2 or whatever. Over that time, I think it's really going to affect their sales in, you know, sort of that console, to the extent they might even completely drop it from the next one, especially when they realise that the PlayStation 4 is making tons more money.
There's no way back after this, Chris, though. Once they do this, they're effectively going to kill off second game hand markets. You know, you're only going to be dealing in previous
consoles. I've got to agree with Adam. I don't see how the second-hand market can survive this.
You
made the point yourself, Chris, that you go in, you buy a second-hand game for £25. Mm. You go home, and for argument's sake, we're going to say it's a tenner. You then have to pay an extra tenner just to pay that. You're paying a £35 for a game right there and then. To be honest with you, a lot of years, people are going to wait and just go, I'll just wait a month and, you know, COD 17 is going to drop by that amount and just have it brand new. Yeah. And I can get all my DLC where maybe with a set, because I think what they're going to do as well is they're going to kill the DLC for the second-hand market. Mm. Buy it new, buy it from here, which you do at the minute, get this new skin, get this new mission, get this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
If you go second-hand, it's going to go, there's your bog standard game, give us an extra tenner for the pleasure of it.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. But my point is the people who literally the pre-owned games is the only way they can afford to get games.
Yeah.
At that dropped price, you know, fair enough. If the genuine, you know, sort of original version of the game, the first buy, as it were, you know, drops to £20, brilliant. That's excellent. But you know, straight away, you know, if you know, sort of little, you know, Billy and all his mates have. You know, have got rich mum and dads who've went out and bought these brand new shiny Call of Duty 19 games, and he's got to wait 3-4 years. I mean, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 4, the first one, is still £20. You know, that's still quite expensive for a game that came out in like 2007.
It's ridiculous, is what it is.
And that's my point, is like your big games, the one that all the kids want to play, they're always going to retain a massively high price.
Sorry to stop you there, lads, but do you not think they've got to try and put these price tags up and keep them high to try and make back the money that they're losing on second-hand sales?
Yeah.
If they have the monopoly on second-hand sales, do you not think the prices will be a lot more fluid? There'll be a lot more sales, there'll be a lot of games coming down faster, there'll be bundle games where you get two games for the price of one.
Not necessarily. I think what annoys them is that, and I keep using the EA because it's the biggest one, is the fact that they've went... There's a whole big market here, and I don't know how much the second-hand market is, but for argument's sake, we'll say it's £1 billion worldwide, for argument's sake. They're going, there's £1 billion we're not getting. It doesn't matter that they've made their money, they've made their profit already. They're just being greedy by taking it out on people who can't afford it. And there's a lot, my big back catalogue of games is mostly second-hand stuff.
Yeah.
You know, what's on my shelf in there, I've had three times as much, but I've had to trade in to get... Like Chris says, they get that expensive one that we trade in five to get that, and I just think it's a little bit greedy, and I think it's going to kill off a lot of stuff like CEX. I really do.
Oh yeah, no, it's definitely going to have a massive impact on the high street. What I'm saying is though, kind of twofold really, to be honest with you. First off, if you go out today and buy a brand spanking new car, and then tomorrow you sell that car, in a year you sell that car. That car's done some miles, got a couple of dings in it, maybe a bit of rust. You know, it's depreciated in value. You've used that, and you've got enjoyment out of it, and you're going to get less for your money back. Okay, you're going to get less money. Mm-hmm. If you keep hold of a game for a year, yes, the game is old, but effectively, that is essentially a brand spanking new game still. Yeah. That's not, the coding's not gone wrong with it. The game's not been corrupted on the disc or anything. You know, you are essentially buying a brand new game. Now... Yeah. You're paying for the licenses for these games. So, for instance, I'm getting a game off Chris. Chris has went out and paid £50 for it. I'll buy it off Chris for a couple of quid because I'm going to have to pay £50 for the license for it as well. Right, for argument's sake.
Yeah.
What's the difference between me buying it and getting it secondhand? If you look at the price market now, currently, if you go into a games like sort of shop, such as Grinder Games or Game for the ones that are knocking about still, like you'll see that... say Far Cry 3, for instance, off the top of my head, brand spanking new, you're going to pay £40. Second hand, you're going to be paying £35 to £30.
Yeah.
Now, to me, that isn't such a big bargain. I mean, such a big deal. It's not such a big sort of gap in price point.
Yeah.
The only place you're actually genuinely making quite a lot of savings is on games that are like 5+ years old. And you're getting like £20.
I disagree. I think it's more to do with the license. I'll give you an example of this right now. For Christmas, I wanted XCOM for the 360. £50 right there and then. My parents didn't get it, there was another game which I asked for, so I didn't get the XCOM game. So I went and looked for it. I got it second hand a month later. Well, not even a month, it was about 3 weeks later. And I got it for £20. Right. That was a game that someone's clearly went and bought, and they went out of
now, was that a deal that you get in? Was it like a special deal that the shop were doing, or was
no,
that just standard price?
That was just a second-hand price. I saved £25 on a game by waiting 3 weeks. Yes, I got it second-hand, because I'm buying it from a second-hand store. They check the discs. I get a receipt. If it's broke when I get home, I can take it straight back. I made a killing. Some games are going to hold the price. Yeah. Some games are going to be, this is going to be big, and then a lot of people are going to play it, and a lot of people are going
to
trade it.
So just jumping in there, obviously, bargain, brilliant. That's excellent. So say you then got home, stuck that game in your new Xbox One, and it went, the license is £25. You know, bang, straight up to £50. You know, would you still be willing to, you know, even keep that game because of that additional £25 that at least on first appearances you thought you'd saved, but it turns out you're going to end up having to pay the full price anyway?
I'd rather pay the full price as it came out then.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, but I cannot imagine they're going to be, your license you're paying for is going to be that much.
I've got to admit, I think that's the extreme view of it. I've got to admit, I think the licenses are, you know, hopefully only at worst maybe it's going to be like 10, you know, sort of say £15. But I still...
We're going to move on from this now because we obviously it's all excellent points and stuff. We all think it slightly differently. But without knowing the facts of that, which they should be out by E3.
I would have thought so, yeah.
To be fair, this is going to be nil and point if they come out and they go, yeah, your license is going to be £2.
Yeah, exactly. But as I say, if it's something like that, then, you know, fair enough. I don't have a problem. But, like I say, if it's...
Well, I think the guys... Sorry, just to quickly sort of on a price bracket, there is something currently like that now. EA are doing those online licenses, their online passes. Are we getting rid of them? Because obviously the Xbox is going to be doing this kind of thing. But that's the kind of price point I think you're going to be aiming for.
I was going to say they've actually announced that they've completely binned them off because they were completely fruitless. But yeah, let's get on with it.
Yeah, sorry.
The last thing really we want to talk about in this is what's been the biggest worry. Now, this isn't just Xbox related. It's also going to be PlayStation related as well. Mm. The rumour was that the games would have to be internet connected the entire time.
Yeah.
Now, both PlayStation and Microsoft have both came out and said, no, this isn't going to be the case. Don't worry about it. I think they're lying. I think that was always going to be the case, and the panic because just the tsunami of negativity towards this idea on the internet is just massive.
If it had been a case where you had to be connected to the internet all the time, waste of time. Total waste of time buying the console. You know, if you were sitting there just, you know, playing single player and that internet drops out, which it does, complete waste of time. If you can't play that because there's no signal, I would have absolutely murdered both the consoles. And I think...
Sorry, just to interject, mate. It's going to be running on the Steam model where you have an internet connection, you launch COD 5, if your internet connection drops out, you still keep playing. You just need the internet connection so your system can pick up the license and they go, this is definitely with this console. That's cool. You can play it. And then from there, because all of, that's the reason people are getting discs, because all the information is on the discs.
It's
just essentially the parcel. And what the license is the scissors to open the parcel. That's it. So I don't think an internet connection dropping out mid-game is going to cause you that much of a problem, to be honest.
No, but That's what I think the misunderstanding was at the beginning, which they've now cleared up, is I think basically as soon as they said, oh yeah, you need to be connected to the internet, I think that means, you know, obviously to play your games online, you have to be connected to the internet. That's just common sense. But I think what people took away from that was, I'm just sitting on Xbox, you know, it's just on in the background. I go to put in a single player game and my internet drops out and my game's blocked and I can't play it.
Yeah,
which isn't the case now.
I don't go online, as you know. I was online, and I don't go online. And I play my Xbox. Just I want a game. I'm going to play it. If they came along now, both of these systems, and went, you have to be online all the time, I'd have to go fuck themselves, and I'll go buy a gaming laptop.
But that's
your games being online. Don't get us wrong, but not everybody can be online. Not everyone can do it. I think what's changed their way of thinking, apart from obviously the feedback they've got initially when this came out, is a game like SimCity, the new SimCity, where they, you know, they released this game, it was, I have this SimCity, everyone's like, this is brilliant, this is class, and they went, fuck, none of this bastard works, and because you have to be online, you can't play your game, and the poor guys are sat there with you know, whatever a PC game costs these days, with a game they can't even pay, because, you know, yes, it's not even anything, so they go, I can't play online, but I'll give them one player bash. You can't do anything, because they screwed the servers. That was for one niche.
Right, I'm going to jump
on server set. Imagine if the whole network was like that.
Yeah, cool.
But yeah, you've had mine. Like I say, that the biggest sort of scare for sort of the general gamers has been cleared up about that online thing. But yeah, as I say, I'm glad they've cleared that up. And like I say, something that could have potentially basically shot themselves in the face with has turned out to be nothing. And a very, very good thing too.
Now, Adam, you're a man I know at the moment that's always connected online. Is this an issue for you, or would you be slightly worried that at some point, if your internet goes off for whatever reason, you're sort of screwed?
No. And I mean, I know, given your situation with regards to the long cable, you've got to drag it on and connect the Xbox, which is why you can't be on online all the time. Correct me if I'm wrong, I think the new Xbox has got a built-in Wi-Fi connection.
Yeah.
So, got a wireless router, you don't need a cable, it'll just go bing, bang, bosh, there it is, I've got a connection, you can play this game, because I know you've got the internet, off you go. So you can have it in your bedroom, you can have it away from your main internet hub in the house somewhere, and you can still get the connection and play along. I don't think it's going to cause a problem at all. I've always got it connected. Not a problem for me at all.
Big question there, is... Right, guys, because we're coming to the end of our time now. I'm gonna push you now against the wall. I want a definite answer off you either way. Chris, PlayStation 4, Xbox One as it stands, which would you vote for?
PlayStation 4, no brainer.
Adam?
I'm going to run the PlayStation through the Xbox. But no, Xbox at the minute.
For me, I'd go Xbox. And on that, it brings me to the end of the podcast. Remember, you can follow Trailer House on Facebook and Twitter. You can find all the necessary links in the description below this. So it's goodbye from Chris.
Goodbye.
It's goodbye from Adam.
Hasta la vista.
And it's goodbye from me. See you next time, guys. Bye-bye. Yeah.